Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the RotoWorld Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draftguide. That's rotoworld.com/draftguide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Day six, I think, of training camp. Taylor, sure. Help me out. I think it's day six. Wednesday is the day. It is training camp. This is the Redskins Talk podcast. I am JP Finley. Rich Tandler is here. I already kind of blew his cover. Say hi.
Hi.
Today is a special teams practice, which will be exhilarating. So we decided rather than a practice review, we're going to do our first Q&A podcast. We haven't done one yet. A lot of fans hit us with questions on social media all the time. So we're going to answer a bunch of questions. I think it's going to be pretty fun. We also have a surprise guest joining the podcast for the first ever time. We'll get to that person after this interview. I talked to Josh Doctson at length today. I thought it was a really interesting interview, and you guys are going to enjoy it. We're going to kick to me and Doctson now, and make sure you stick around to the very last question Doctson brings up, and we'll talk to you on the back end. Before we talk about 2017 and what you're hoping to accomplish, let's talk about 2016 and how hard it was for you to just sit on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. It was a time point where I understood what was going on. I understood this was an injury that I didn't know what the timetable was going to be. So I just did what I could, but most importantly, I made sure that things that I was able to do, like film and watching and observing, and just taking notes. I took pride in that. And, it shows. This year, I know what's going on. I know what's entails of training camp and things like that. So I'm just ready.
What was your relationship with Jay Gruden like last season when you couldn't play?
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating, I guess. You know, coaches want your players to play, especially the ones you draft, first three rounds. So
first round, not first
yeah,
three rounds.
Well, yeah, but, all of us, he wants to play. So, it was hard. It was hard for everybody. But, everybody knew what my heart was. I wanted to be out on the field. So all the outside noise and people saying, questioning my heart and desire of wanting to play, it was nothing like that. So
you and I made a deal a couple days ago. I said, I'm not going to ask you any more health questions because you're fully healthy. Correct?
Correct, definitely.
Let's talk about then how different this camp is going than 2016.
I'm out there. I'm finally able to show people why I was drafted where I was, and show my teammates that I can play, and for myself, to show myself I can play at this level. And I'm just doing what I do, is make plays and get open for the quarterback, and just a consistent target.
Jay Gruden called you the silent assassin, I think. Do you like that as a nickname?
Yeah, they called me that in college, man. To be honest with you, they called me that in college. I've always been like this, man. I'm not. This isn't just some new guy that I'm being perceiving to be. It's just some guys that I ain't seen it yet.
Fans last year grew tired of the fade. are you going to make them like the fate of you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did at TCU. You know, I played last year injured, man, and with not a lot of reps. So there was a little, you know, I guess bad situations out there for myself where it wasn't on time with the quarterback. So this year it should be definitely different with, you know, Terrell Reed, Minnie Crowder.
You are a guy that very much doesn't want to talk. I mean, you're not a social media guy. You're not out there sending snaps and Instagrams and all sorts of stuff. I looked at your Twitter profile and you said, I'm a regular guy. I'm not defined by sport. Yeah. What do you want to prove?
Man, I was a walk-on at college. I just want to prove that, you know, anything is possible with hard work, man. Not just football, not NFL, but anything you desire to be. Everybody comes in different shapes, forms, sizes, man, and it really doesn't matter. It just matters where your heart's at and how much work you want to put in, effort. And yeah, I just kind of stay off social media, man, because I just feel like old school ways work the best, man. You don't put stuff out there, people can't talk about you. So I just kind of stay low and just, you know, get on the low and work hard.
What's your relationship with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, it's building. Like I said, I wasn't there last year for him. We did some things in the offseason to kind of help build that chemistry, and you know, we got some new guys in there, so I'm kind of feel like I'm starting fresh with, you know, Terrell and Quick and some of the new guys we got in.
What is it like in the receiver room with Terrell and Quick, and clearly Crowder's a big part of things?
It's good, man. It's a lot of guys learning the offense. It doesn't hurt to relearn things and just install it in your head, so it's, you know, just second nature. So it's going well.
Because you were a first round pick and because you didn't play hardly at all your rookie season, did Dan Snyder or Bruce Allen reach out to you at all?
Nah, that was a couple of times with the homesick and the question in my heart. It was a couple of times I went in the office and talked to him, made sure all that stuff was squashed. But as soon as I came to talk to him, they already knew, you know, what's up with me. They know that I'm a quiet dude. That don't mean I don't like being out here. It's just I'm different, man. I'm not going to follow the crowd. So just how I've always been and how I always will be, regardless of what stats I put up this next year or the following year throughout my career.
And you just wanted to clear the air with them, that's not what's going on.
Yeah, just clear the air because, you know, they don't know me. So I can understand that being quiet comes off as, you know, he don't like being here or he's homesick or something like that. But it's not the case.
I really appreciate your time. Is there anything you want to say to the fans about the 2017 season coming up?
Man, Super Bowl, man. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl or bust?
Yeah, Super Bowl or bust, man.
Wow. For the guy that doesn't talk, that's saying something.
Yeah. I see what we got, man, on offense. The defense, man, it's coming. It's huge, huge steps, man. So we're going to be all right, man.
All right. We'll leave it there. Super Bowl or bust? Super Bowl or bust, Rich Tandler. What you got on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the way all these guys should think. You know, I was talking to Bill Compton the other day. He said that's their goal. And he really, you know, as much as, you know, media and fans may be skeptical of it, if you don't believe it at this time of year, you have no business being in this business.
If you're a pro athlete, you should believe you're going to win every game. That has to be your mindset. And good on Josh, man. If you can't believe in yourself on August 2nd, then something's not right. And my favorite part, and I wrote about this, was him just completely dispelling the notion that he was homesick or didn't value football last year. And if you know Josh a little bit, you watch him work out, you know that's not the case. And I thought it was pretty interesting. He went to Bruce and Dan to make sure they knew it too.
Right. And, you know, he took a lot of heat last year. I mean, the guy was injured.
Right.
He was getting called soft and a wasted draft pick and all these kind of things. You know, I'm sure he heard some of it. You can't completely
escape
it.
I mean, he told us he heard some of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, you know, he's here. He's doing well. Now, who knows what's going to happen week one. But, you know, good for him. He's sticking up for himself.
Are you still at 10 touchdowns for Josh Doxon?
Yes. I see no reason to back off of it.
I know you a little bit. You're not going to back off of it.
No.
He could until go into week 10 and he has two
week
touchdowns.
Week 17 and he has one.
Right. All right. We're going to introduce Pete Haley to the podcast. Pete, say what's up.
What's up, guys? Thank you, JP and Rich, for having me. It only took you about 100 or so episodes to invite me on, even though we've been working closely together for about 2 years now. So,
Tandler, I said Pete to say hi.
I think we got to kick him off the podcast.
You're about to get cut on your first day. No way to ask for that soliloquy, dude.
I don't know if I'm going to be on this again, so I need to get all my words out just in case.
All right, Pete works with us on the CSM Redskins team, does a lot of good coverage, does a lot of good social media stuff, asks weird questions at times. He's the lone true millennial in the group. How old are you, Pete? You're young as hell.
22 years old, and I make sure to remind JP that he's 13 years older than me as much as possible.
Well, how many years older is Tandler then?
I don't know.
I'm not telling.
Not disclosing that information. I'm open about my age, mostly because I look young, so I roll with it. All right, so Pete's here, and we're going to do Q&A. We posted to Twitter, and I posted to Facebook, and we got some good questions from fans. I think this is going to be fun. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Tandler, lead us off, man.
Okay, let's start with this kind of forward-looking one.
Ooh, look
from
ahead.
From Joey Taronis.
Oh, Joey T. That's my
Joey
boy.
T.
We'll he used to
Joey
work
T.
with my boy Linehan. He's a great dude.
Okay, from what you've seen and heard so far, who will be the Redskins' starting running back in 3 years between P. Ryan and Kelly, barring injury, of course?
So here's the thing: when I saw this, I don't think either of them. The running back position in the NFL has so much turnover. I mean, if somebody asked you 3 years ago who was going to be the running back, you probably would have said Alfred Morris, right?
It would not have been Rob Kelly, I know
right.
that.
Right. Like, I mean, it's a good question, but to me, it speaks to the turnover at the running back position throughout the NFL that I have no idea the answer.
But who do you think has the skills to last longer? Who will have a longer and more successful NFL career between the two?
I will say this. Before I got down here, I know people have been kind of jumping on the P. Ryan train early and just assuming you'd take over for Kelly. And I wanted to kind of wait and see because I wasn't sure. But once you get down here, P. Ryan does pop quite a bit. And obviously the whole they're not wearing pads, they're not doing full tackling every day, you have to mention that. But he's ripped off a couple huge runs. He is
all
bouncy.
Right, time to correct Pete yet?
He has a lot to learn.
Dude, they're not tackling. So when they rip off big runs.
I mentioned that, but even.
No. You mentioned no pads. But the thing to keep in mind when you see a running back that runs 30 yards past the line of scrimmage, they're not tackling. So when they get hit in the backfield, or even when they get hit 5 yards downfield, odds are they're going down
there.
They
keep going.
But they're not tackling to the ground.
Yeah, I know every running back finishes every run down here, but what I'm saying is that even. I mean, he's bouncing past guys, not getting touched. I know they're not coming down full speed, but. What I'm saying is P. Ryan looks good, and I promise you, some of these rip-off runs that he's having would be being ripped off in NFL games too.
P. Ryan has looked good in spots. I agree with that.
He has to learn how to hold on to the ball. He has to learn how to pass protect.
The pass protection is what's going to keep him off the field early. I think he has a chance to push for this job, but it's going to take a little bit of time. You don't pass protect at Oklahoma in the Big 12 when everybody's just spreading it out and running gun.
Right. So just... you know, right. He might have a chance. But anyway, for a long-term career, I like P. Ryan a little bit better than Kelly. I've kind of underestimated Kelly in the past. Maybe I'm doing it now.
No, not you, Tandler.
No, that's fine. But I'll admit it anyway. So, you know, maybe he will be around longer. But I think P. Ryan has kind of that build.
He's bigger.
He's bigger. I think he'll be able to take the pounding a little better. So I think as we prepare for the – God, in 3 years, it'll be the 2020 season.
Dude.
Man.
Are you saying P. Ryan is the running back in 2020?
No. I probably more agree with you that it'll be somebody else. I think P. Ryan will definitely be in the NFL. I'm not quite sure that Kelly will be.
Hate.
Okay. Next question.
Go ahead. Am I up? All right.
Yep.
All right. I just put my phone down, so bear with me, listeners. Pete, tell everybody what you had for dinner last night.
Last night we went out to Pasture in Richmond. I had a burger and fries. It's a really nice restaurant, and my routine at nice restaurants is to just order cheeseburgers and not try anything new. So that's what I did last night.
Pete also texted me, hey, how nice is this place? I said, it's nice. So he wore slacks and a button down. I wore shorts and a t-shirt. Like, it's nice, but you don't have to dress up, dude.
You don't want a ripped t-shirt and,
it's not the eighth grade dance. All right, I posted on my Facebook page for questions, and I got two. I'm going to let Tandler pick which one he wants to answer. Jacob Moniker asked, how solid of a unit is the O-line this year? Martin McLean asked, Lots of people at camp saying Matt Ioannidis has improved. What are the improvements he has made? And what position do you think he will play the most this season? We can hit both of these.
Yeah, I'll say Ioannidis, yes, he's gotten better. He just seems to be stronger, for one thing. Knows, and just what you would expect after a year under his belt, kind of knows what he's knows the playbook a little more, knows where he's supposed to be at times. He's not going to play nose tackle, so he'll play either of the end spots.
He's played it a little. I don't see it happening much,
right?
But I think
that's just the Tom Sula crazy right. preseason shuffle.
So I talked to Matt, and one thing that's interesting, he told me he actually slimmed down a little, but has gotten stronger. So that's when, I mean, the change these guys' bodies, their bodies make from year one to year two in the NFL makes a big difference, and I think we're seeing it with Matt. I put this in one of my notes. Ioannidis hit a spin move earlier this week. I mean, you couldn't imagine that happening last year.
Not without him falling on the ground
anyway.
Right. So that's good.
All right, Pete, you go on. How solid is the O-line this year?
I think they're incredibly solid. I mean, besides maybe Sean Laval, there's not a guy on the line you're worried about, and that's saying something considering it feels like we're just a few years removed from the Stephon Heyer era where they throw in these swing tackles and guards who are just getting destroyed every Sunday. And I think ever since Trent Williams arrived, the O-line has just gotten better and better each and every year. Now it's one of the best in the NFL, and it's weird to say that.
They're good. I think I would measure it
a little bit.
We'll see.
It also helps that Cousins gets the ball out so fast, and the offense is built that way. So you're not seeing him take seven-step drops and have to wait in the pocket so long. So I guess the combination of Cousins behind this line makes for a season that won't have too many issues with sacks, I would think.
I would think so. I think that's good. Okay.
They need to run the ball more. And some of that, they could not run the ball against the Giants and the Panthers late in the year. They got to be better in those situations. I think that's worth pointing out.
Yes, no doubt.
All right, you're up. Next question, Taylor.
Okay. Dream out loud. And since I wrote about fades this morning.
What the hell are you talking about, dream out loud?
Dream out loud is the guy's Twitter handle.
Oh, so you guys say at dream out loud.
Dream out
loud.
Dream
out loud. Name, too.
At all right, this is dream out loud. We're coming your way, buddy.
Okay. Where do you place most of the blame on the poor end zone fades for 2016? Kirk's throws or the wide receiver's inability to make a play?
Red zone? Talking red zone or fades specifically?
Fades.
End zone fades.
They didn't have the wideouts for the route. They didn't. I mean, Pierre's not a go up and get it guy. And did they probably call too many? Maybe. But
They threw 80 red zone passes last year. I'm guessing probably eight or so.
I was going to say maybe 10%.
Yeah, about 10%, which is, you know, that's kind of up there. Considering, especially, it seemed like most of them were like in a 2 or 3 game span that they tried them. But, yeah, I think my answer to that would be just doomed from the start. Didn't really have the personnel to execute it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Kirk's throws. I mean, the fade route, you just kind of toss it up there. It's more predictability. After that Cowboys debacle in week 2, it kind of became a thing where every time they're in the red zone, you're just expecting a fade. And if we're expecting the fade, I'm sure NFL defensive coordinators were expecting it
But the throw matters, too. And, I mean, everybody we all talked about that Terrell Pryor catch yesterday. Colt threw a hell of a ball.
So he could reach up and just,
right.
I mean, I don't even think he had to grasp it. It's just like plopped down into his yeah. open hand.
Looks like he was playing with a kid's ball.
Like a Nerf ball.
It was insane.
Okay.
I got one.
All right.
Can I go?
Yep.
This is from my guy, Donnell Wilson at Nelford. What's the deal with Ryan Anderson? Donnell says he's hearing mixed reviews. I do not have a mixed review. I have a positive review on Ryan Anderson. I think maybe from day one, but certainly quickly, he is the best run-stuffing outside linebacker on the roster. He already looks really good at that. Now, I don't know what you get from him as a pass rusher. I think he is fourth on the depth chart as a pass rusher behind Kerrigan, Preston, and Gillette. And I think he'll be fifth once Trent Murphy comes back.
Right.
But
yeah.
If he can set the edge on the run, there's a lot of use in that.
There's a lot of use in that. And I would also say, if you've heard negative about him, I mean, hey, he's a rookie, okay? He's been in camp for 5 days, so, you know, let's just take a deep breath, see how things go along. He has a lot to learn. Jonathan Allen, I mean, I'm telling you folks, he's getting, you know, yes, he's quick. Trent Williams was just talking about how impressed he was with not only his quickness and size, but his mental game as well. How he varies what he does. But, you know, first couple of months of the season, he might not be all that dominant simply because he has a lot to learn. Same with Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, he's all in on Josh Doctson's touchdowns, as Rich is. He's very cool on the Alabama rookies, and it is important. They're not going to be popping in day six. Give him some time, and Anderson and Allen should be okay, but it might take them a few weeks to get the ball rolling.
Okay. You're up. Next, let's go with from James Cooper. That's an easy name to know.
Easy name. Got to add.
Coop Dizzle, 05.
Coop Dizzle, 05. At Coop Dizzle, 05. Okay, anyway, do you think Kirk will have close to another 5,000-yard, 20-plus touchdown season without Jackson and Garcon? I read he has looked rusty.
Before we go anywhere, he better have at least 20 damn touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's a bad.
Yeah. Like,
5,000 is such a high baseline, but 20 is way too low.
But let's say 29.
You set it over under 29 is different.
Right. But, you know, I think he'll throw over some touchdowns. He had 24 last year, I want to say, after 29 the year before.
Is it only 24 last
year?
Yeah. That's low.
He can get in the end zone, in the red zone. That was the big difference. But, you know, 5,000 yards, I think they are going to run the ball more this year.
They need to run the ball more.
Yes.
He threw the ball 606 times last year. That number needs to be around 540.
Yes.
That's a more balanced offense. And I think not having McVay here calling plays will lead to this is still going to be a pass-first team, but they're going to run a little bit more. We talked about it. What was it, 63-37 or something? The pass rush breakdown last year? Percentages?
Yes, roughly, yes. You need to be more like 60-40,
59. 58-42
even. This run more conversation, for the record, happens every single training camp, and it doesn't really play out once September rolls around. Gruden loves to pass, and McVay not being here, Gruden's in charge now. He may run a little bit more, but I just have a feeling you hear him a lot in pressers after every week. Oh, how many runs? Well, we should have done that more. And every week it's kind of the same story.
But in 2015, they did run more. Cousins only.
And some
a
of
lot,
it
540 passes.
But if you think
in
about some of the situation, like Cowboys 50. Game on Thanksgiving, they had to throw the ball because they were down big. The Bengals game turned into a shootout. I mean, some of the Cardinals game turned into a shootout. There are spots where they couldn't run, the Giants and the Panthers game. And there were spots where they didn't run and it made sense. So you can't force the issue, but they need to run the ball more, if that makes sense.
Right. Obviously, you're not going to, if you're down 10 points in the middle of the fourth quarter, you can't say, oh, wait, we've only run it 10 times. We've got to run it some more. You know, it's a game situation. But they weren't that far behind that often. I mean, they won 8 games. They tied one. You know, only had a couple of instances of being blown out. So
if he gets to 5,000 yards, this team isn't making the playoffs, is my thought.
What's the sweet spot then?
I think you want 4,600 and 34 touchdowns. It's more about TDs than it is about yards. All right, we're going long. We have a ton of questions. How do we feel about speed round?
Let's go.
All right, me or you, Taylor? Who's up?
Let's see. I just have one more question in my queue here.
All right.
Stephen Cryer. What's your opinion on training camp practice so far this year? My feeling 2016 was low-intensity training camp led to slow start to the season.
Man, 2 days ago was intense as hell, and I'm not worried about the intensity of training camp.
Yeah, these guys grind. They're going to be slower days, hotter days. They've been working hard. They do all the time.
I think last year the slow start was more due to playing the Cowboys and the Steelers, two teams that had two of the best records in the league.
I think they were a little flat late in the year.
Lightning. Let's go.
All right, lightning round. Okay.
Speed it up, guy.
At Heisman Trophy, with Reed out and this being far from Vernon's first camp, has Sprinkle gotten any good reps? How is Sprinkle doing?
He's made a few. Again, a rookie.
Yeah, and he's not making much of a
rookie from a run first offense. So
right.
Yeah, okay, progress
big
for
dude that.
That
they want to be their jumbo set tight end.
This is the slowest lightning round I've ever been a part of.
Adam Mathena at Redskinner 39.
You're not going to be a part of one ever again.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
Adam always comments.
I always feel
stuff.
So welcome here.
Adam, shut up. who in your opinion is going to be the linchpin at nose tackle?
The linchpin meaning the starter.
Who's going to be? Yeah. He also wants to know the starting defense lineup. We're not. We don't have that yet.
Yeah.
There really aren't that many questions on the starting defense either.
No.
It's basically who does
Except
Brown
for
kick out
yeah.
and then D-line.
I'm going to say, you know what? I've gone back and forth. Right now I'm going to go back to Phil Taylor.
Dude, I'm kind of leaning Taylor too. He's starting to emerge.
Joey Embu is my yeah. guy. But I also think they'll just be shuffling all year long.
Josh Holsey making the team?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. He's probably about a 60% chance.
Yeah.
All right. Gabriel Dinkins and Darren Gregory, at Darren Gregory and at KingG72812. Want to know about Zach Pascal and Robert Davis. Here's my lightning round answer. Matt Hazel's the one that's making an impression so far.
All I know is that Robert Davis, he was in one-on-one drills with Swearinger. Swearinger beat him, and then he said, you like to block, but you don't like to catch passes. So that's Swearinger's review of Robert Davis.
Which makes sense since he caught 9 passes in high school. Davis has a lot to learn. I think they'll stash him like as an inactive sixth receiver.
And he's a big body.
Yes.
They want to try to develop that kid. Trey Davis, at Trey Davis 3. How many 1,000-yard wideouts will the Skins have this year?
1.
Ooh, and you're
Who
saying
is that?
It's Crowder?
Jameson Crowder.
I'll say 2, Crowder and Pryor. I'm all in. I'm pushing my chips in on Pryor. He's going to be a monster in 2017.
None of us have mentioned Josh Doctson.
800 yards, 10 touchdowns.
10 touchdowns. Hot take.
What's yours? Quick, lightning.
I've said 2. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
And it's Pryor or Crowder. Darren Booth at DBStyle21. Are Doctson and Pryor fool's gold? Nope.
No. Shot. They're the Transformers. That's their nickname.
All right, we got a couple more. Greg's, I'm hoping I'm getting this right. This is Greg Scuzzulo from Facebook. In light of the Keith Marshall injury, does Matt Jones have a bigger chance at making the roster?
Maybe went from none to slim.
Yeah, bigger, but not by much.
They need for him to make the roster, I still think you're an injury away.
At least. I think they'd go with 3 running backs before they kept Matt Jones.
All right, Matt Boyer from Facebook. He's asked about Robert Davis. We just talked about Robert Davis.
See previous answers.
See previous answers, Matt, but thanks for the question.
You can rewind a little bit.
All right, unless you got one more you want to hit, Tandler.
Let me see if I got anything else in here. Real
We've
quick.
Got a bunch. And blame it on the Twitter app. It's hard to scroll.
Let's see what I got in here.
How about this? This is going to be our finale because Burgundy Blog, who I am internet friends with. He and I communicate, not just publicly. Says that I'm trolling by updating people on how much Ryan Grant has been a part of training camp so far. Ryan Grant, if they're keeping stats, Ryan Grant leads the team in catches right now.
Yes, you know.
And he's
hey,
good.
Burgundy Blog, I like you too, but lighten up.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis. So he says I'm trolling, which I'm not. I'm just reporting what I see, and Ryan Grant is catching balls all the time. But some dude...
I think he's half-joking, too.
I think he's half-joking, too. And I'm saying this... like, we're all laughing about this.
Yes.
So this is why I want to bring it up.
Laughing so hard.
Mark... where are you? God, this app is so annoying. Mark T. Herbert, who's at Army of Northern Virginia, says, if Ryan Grant surpasses 20 receptions or 200 yards this season, he will eat a Nationals fedora on Periscope.
Those are such low numbers. I think
Dude,
that has a chance
catches?
Of happening. What do you have last year? Like
9.
He had 9.
Okay.
Last year, but I think he's higher up on the depth chart.
Dude.
Did last
still
year?
Probably, I don't know. It depends on if Maurice Harris can get back to practice or not.
Maybe.
He
so
could
that's
be,
the other thing to consider right now why
yeah.
he's getting all these catches. Mo Harris and Crowder.
And Crowder.
Right.
I think he can get to 20 catches. I'm not making
okay.
any ridiculous
well,
notions
sure,
of eating
just,
a hat.
Just yeah. make sure you at us when you do that.
Yeah.
So we
We'd
can
love
watch.
To have you in.
Yeah. So, Mark.
I got a little salt and pepper. I'm going to make that fedora taste better.
Mark Herbert, if he gets to 20 catches, which I think he can. I'm not sure he will, but I think he can. I want to see you eat this hat. We all agree on that?
Yep. It's a little odd you're eating a Nationals fedora if Ryan Grant gets 20 catches, but we can work it out. Maybe we'll get you a CSN fedora or something.
Now you're making CSN fedoras?
I mean,
I get shirts and hats.
I have more hats and shirts than JP and Rich.
That is kind of messed up, right, Taylor?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Pete, this is probably your last time on here. Is there anything you want to say?
If that's true, just want to let my family know I'm okay down here in Richmond. My Twitter handle is @_PeterHaley, H-A-I-L-E-Y. And
that's the wrong way to spell it.
Actually, Redskins fans will like it. It's Haley spelled with the right hail. Anything else?
You're such a geek. You're done. Stop talking. Taylor, anything to say, dude?
No, just we'll do this again tomorrow.
We'll do a regular podcast tomorrow. Yes. But this was fun, man. We should do this more often.
Yeah, same time tomorrow,
no,
guys.
Pete,
I'll be
stop
here.
Stop talking. thank you guys very much. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.